Hare Krishna, everyone. I hope you guys are enjoying our retreat so far. So today we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Sachinanda Swami with us today. And I'm just going to be introducing him, although he does not need any introduction. He's been helping Panav Sena and guiding us for such a long time with our mentorship system. And literally, we've had him, we're so lucky to have him here with us today. So just for the people who don't know Maharaj, he's been a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he's been following the practices of bhakti for over 42 years. He is known for his significant contribution to the practice of contemplation and meditation for modern practitioners of bhakti. He does many workshops, beautiful kirtan. He teaches at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education in India and the Bhaktivedanta College in Belgium. He has recently founded the organization Yoga is Music. And he is also the spiritual master of our own, very own Gaur Krishna Prabhu. So let me just hand it over to Maharaj. And yes, please forgive me if I made any mistakes, Maharaj, introducing you. But Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Pat. And Hare Krishna, I'm happy to see a few faces in the pictures in front, but I assume there are many more of you. And I'm very happy with the subject matter with Yashoda Priya introduced. What would Srila Prabhupada do? Day-to-day practical tips. So I'm very inspired really to spend this time with you, and I really want to say, when I came to Krishna consciousness, this concept of following the footsteps of a great soul made a lot of sense to me. See, my ancestors come from Sweden, which is most of the time, and not most of the time, but during the winter time, covered by snow. And everything looks really the same. You have no orientation where to go unless you find someone who knows the way and then walk behind their footsteps to the next place of human civilization. Being from this country and having heard about this situation that you need to follow guidance, you need to follow footsteps in order to get anywhere. Therefore, this subject matter made a lot of sense to me to learn what Srila Prabhupada did in a given situation and then follow his example in our situation, in our life. And by following his examples or his footsteps, one can very, very easily come to a result which one could not come on his or her own. So I'm most enthusiastic to spend this time with you. And I request you that we just start now. Let us offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and then we will go into our subject matter. But really, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for organizing this time. I'm really missing you. And Pat said we are here with our with Gaur Krishna. There is a rumor that Gaur Krishna has become a great yogi and is levitating now in our association. And I think it's good if you see him so that you can just have he is here, he is intact. We feed him well. Haribo. Good. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyadi Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Everybody please. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In my own life as a disciple, I always had the desire to meet very personally with Srila Prabhupada and receive very concrete personal instructions. And this time, where this was possible, came in a very, very surprising way into my life. Srila Prabhupada had visited us in Germany. At that time, we had taken a big, big castle as our temple, and we were able to supply him with the apartment which the master of the castle was using in ancient time. During the day, Srila Prabhupada was busy in his room to either write or receive guests. And in the morning and evening, he would give classes and do kirtan. Now, because Prabhupada was busy during the day, we were continuing our Sankirtan book distribution. We took after his lecture some prasadam and then went out all day. Only a few devotees remained back in the castle. And I was chosen to be Prabhupada's guard during this time. I would sit before his door and I would make sure that the devotees or people who would pass by his door, the large corridor, would not make noise so that he could do undisturbed his translation. Now one day my good fortune blossomed. Satswarup Maharaj, who was massaging him every day, had fever and looked for someone who could massage Srila Prabhupada. And somehow he found me before the door and he asked me, are you knowing how to massage? And I immediately sensed my chance and said, I think I'm the best massage person in all of Germany, although I had no idea what massage would bring with it. So he immediately invited me in and I stepped before Srila Prabhupada. He went out of the room because Prabhupada had told him, you have fever, you should rest. So I was standing alone before Srila Prabhupada, who looked at me, and he could see that I was his massage boy. But I think he could see right through me and understand I had no idea how to massage a person. So he looked at me with his all-knowing eyes, and I looked back and I froze, and I remember I started to perspire so much that underneath my arm a whole ocean accumulated because I felt, oh no, he sees that I'm a pretender. Then Prabhupada looked at me and he said with his deep voice, just do your service. I immediately got behind him and started to move my hands up his back in this way, because that's how he wanted his massage to start. And he said, harder. I pressed more. Prabhupada said, harder. I pressed really more. Then Prabhupada again said, harder, more. I pressed with all my weight. And then he looked at me and said, what do you do for service? He noticed that my grip was rather weak, not like a hero. I said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm trying to translate your books. And immediately when Srila Prabhupada saw that I was supporting him in what he considered so essential for his mission, his demeanor changed. And he asked, almost like you asked a colleague, how many pages a day you do? So I thought, well, let me give my best number, which I have reached maybe one time or twice in all this translating time. I said 12 pages. And he looked at me again with this all-knowing glance. And I again froze. He asked, really? And I said, I'm proud, but that was on my best day. What I understood at that moment is that I cannot lie to Srila Prabhupada. He is the representative of the super soul. That means he has access to everyone's heart and mind and sees it, just like you and me would see a written page. And he could read it. And from that moment, I decided, yes, I better be truthful. He knows anyways everything. Then Prabhupada said, a disciple should be four things. And I felt he would now give me my life instructions. He said he should be a good student. He should learn. He should be a guru. He should teach or give what he has learned to others. He should be a water carrier. I later asked devotees, what is a water carrier? In this, is it an analogy for something? And I heard that water carrier means when in the village the well is dry, the water carrier will go to another well in a nearby village or to another reservoir of water, and he will have a mechanism, and that mechanism is not a mechanism, he will have something like, you know, where you can fill water in, maybe buckets or maybe some other arrangement, and he brings water which is so needed to the people of his village. A water carrier is a servant who helps others to go through difficult times. And finally, Prabhupada said, a devotee should be a cook. With a cook, he meant one should be self-reliant, independent. So these are the four instructions which he gave me. A disciple, he said, should be a good student. He should never stop to learn. He should be a guru, a spiritual teacher himself, either you're this in an official role or not in an official role, but you should help and instruct and guide others. He should be a water carrier, that is, a sincere servant, bringing what is most needed. And he should be a cook, independent. So I'm very happy to say that during this meeting, Srila Prabhupada gave me what I so much craved for. That is instructions, personal instructions that would guide me through my life. Prabhupada was always like this. He was rooted in the spiritual reality, and he would help others with giving spiritual instructions. That was how he always was. He was like this when he was out in big gatherings lecturing, but he also was like this behind closed doors. You know, when he would retire into his room, anyone who met him at that time would also get instructions like the instructions he gave me. He was never switched off from, and I will tell you a very interesting little story of the Prabhupada behind the closed doors, which I think we are all interested in. How was he privately as a person? I will talk about this a little later towards the end of my presentation. But here I want to start by saying that these are the four instructions which Srila Prabhupada gave me personally. Of course, I receive a lot of instructions from his books and recorded lectures as a disciple, but here there was a personal meeting. There was also a very endearing detail. Prabhupada wanted me in the massage to crack his finger knuckles, I think they're called, by pulling the finger. And I started to do, I tried this, and with a little finger, the pinky, but I didn't want to pull hard enough, harder. The Prabhupada said, harder. I said, no, Prabhupada, I can't do it. I'm afraid I will hurt you. No, no, this is very good. No, Prabhupada, according to medicine, this is not good. Who said? My mother. So Prabhupada let it go by. He did not want to go against the authority of my mother. He was very a traditional person. It is said in the scriptures, you may disobey many people. You may even disobey your father, but you can never disobey your mother. This is in the Dharma Shastras, you know, on one level. Because the mother has carried you under her heart and given you life. It's a very special relationship. And she loves also us very much. So the question is, what would Srila Prabhupada do day to day? Practical tips. I want to focus today on four practical tips which Prabhupada illustrated with his life. I want to first talk about determination. In the second canto, Prabhupada writes, an easygoing life and attainment in transcendental realization cannot go together. An easygoing life will never bring you to any transcendental realizations. You have to be willing to give it some effort. Effort or abhyasa should be done over a prolonged time span. Your effort should be uninterrupted. Say you're chanting, then you should chant through. And your efforts should be coupled with devotion and enthusiasm. Then you will be successful in whatever you do. If you do something very regularly over a prolonged amount of time, if you do it uninterrupted, and if you do it with devotion and enthusiasm. For me, Prabhupada's life spells out this determination in a very, very nice way. Prabhupada once told us, I personally was walking through fire for my Guru Maharaj. He was so determined. He could not be discouraged by any obstacles which came up or flared into his face, maybe like a fire flame. Let's look at some examples. When Prabhupada was a Grihastha, he had just finished to build up a little factory for producing medical items, you know, tonics, pills, and so on, to help people. Prabhupada was always a water carrier. He was always trying to help. Even as a Grihastha, he was producing or making medicines and then selling them to the people, and in this way earn his life. So when he had just finished to build his factory, he had not yet insured it. It burned down. Imagine, he had put every cent which he had worked for, every rupee, you would better say, into this factory, and it just burned down, and he wouldn't get anything back from it because it was not insured. But Prabhupada just continued with his little business and was just unfazed, undisturbed, because he was so determined. For a determined person who, as I said, acts enthusiastically, there cannot be any obstacles. The material energy stands at the side and says, come, come, do your thing. An enthusiastic person will always be blessed by fortune, by good fortune. There's even a saying like this by Lakshmi Devi herself. An enthusiastic, determined person. Later, Srila Prabhupada went across the ocean to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. In his first place where he started with his mission was America. He first saw the Boston Harbor, and then he went to New York and came off the boat there. Now, on his journey, something happened which shows us a practical example of determination. What happened was narrated by Srila Prabhupada to one of his friends in Vrindavan, who was known as affectionately as Bhagaji. And this is what Prabhupada told him. When I was going by ship over the ocean, I suffered from a heart attack. All of a sudden, I could see coming towards our ship, another ship. There was Krishna with his many incarnations or avatars coming on that second ship, which was coming towards the Jaladuta, the ship on which Srila Prabhupada was. And Krishna told Prabhupada, come, come with me now. But Srila Prabhupada's determination at that moment was just so strong that he said, no, please don't take me. I have not yet done my master's work. Referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his eternal spiritual master who had given him this instruction. Just think about this for a moment. If Krishna comes personally to you and says, come along with me now, and you are elderly and you have a heart attack, where you don't know really if I will survive. It's a very traumatic experience to have this heart arrest, you know. And in this situation, Prabhupada said, no, I have not, please don't take me. I have not yet done my master's work. What determination. What great, great determination he had. My dear devotees, my dear friends, who are still hesitating maybe at times to surrender to Krishna fully. This determination is something so wonderful. It is necessary to have it in our big project. We may have projects like earning our livelihood. We may have projects which are related to our services, which we do. We may have plans for Pandavasena, but there's one big project which everyone who is born in the human form of life is born with. I call it the one project, the biggest project, that is to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this project in the fourth canto, chapter 12, text 43. He says, my Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Loka in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. One simply has to become as serious and sincere. Serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj. Then it is quite possible to attain Vaikuntha Loka and go back home, back to Godhead in one life. Wow, what a project! Have you thought about this in relationship to your own life? So it's definitely something very big, something very great, something which is there. Thank you, Kapil. Kapil is giving us the link there where we can find this. Yes, this is a really possible determination. For a determined person who is oriented towards his goal and who is willing to overcome the obstacles which will come on his way, Nothing is important. And do you know, it's so blissful if one is determined. And it is so frustrating if one breaks his own determination, his own plan again and again. It takes all strength away from us. It breaks our heart. It is not strengthening us, but it is weakening us very much. Now you might say, oh Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. You have successfully discouraged me. I'm not very determined by nature. I'm a normal person. Yes, I know and have heard many things, but basically I trot along my daily life. When it comes to giving the action, I flee from the battlefield of determination. I have good news for you. It is not necessary to be determined like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was so sincere. He was so determined that even as a young boy, he left for the forest where there were very challenging life circumstances. And he became, how do you say, a yogi. That is not possible for everyone. Prabhupada writes this. We should always remember, he says, that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task. But in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it has been made very easy. But if we do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya, Kapil, if you want to show the devotees where this is, it's 4th canto, 8th chapter, text 72. But if we do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya, how can we expect to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj in his austerity. No, you have no chance. You are not like Dhruva Maharaj. At least I don't know anyone in London who is like Dhruva Maharaj. Maybe Sutapa. It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaja in his austerity. But the principles must be followed. We should not disregard the regulative principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned souls. These four regulative principles are not an exquisite torture. They make it easier to follow, to have a mind which is focused on the big picture. The moment one breaks the four regulative principles, one loses the big picture out of the mind and is not so strong in one's spiritual life. It makes it easier, no? As far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules. Chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating of the Gujarati kitchen, oh no, that's not here. And instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. Simple program. So this I find is one of the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. One has to be determined. And Krishna will see how painstaking One is on this path. That's another quote of Prabhupada. But somehow, Srila Prabhupada has seen what is a practical expression of determination. And he has reduced it to a very simple process, to follow four regulative principles, and on the positive end, to chant 16 rounds and offer one's foodstuffs diligently to Krishna, diligently. So that is possible. That's in the reach of each one of us. I want to now come to, this was the uphill part of the lecture. Now we will go the downhill part. Now the easy part comes. You might ask yourself justifyingly, yes, I could see Srila Prabhupada gave such an example of determination. I could see, even as a grihastha, how he was undaunted by obstacles. And I could see how he personally almost battled with death. He was so determined, and he requested Krishna to give him a little bit more time, even though he suffered from a heart arrest, you know, a deadly thing. Yes, and I have followed you that in this age, the determination which is required for us is simple. You know, this simple prohibitive rules we have to follow, and what else? 16 rounds and offering our prasadam and eating, offering our food and eating only prasadam. But still, how can I build up my enthusiasm, my determination? Is this a good subject matter? What can I do to strengthen my enthusiasm? Because sometimes I see that despite my better knowledge, I seem to be pulled by my habits in an opposite direction that is not good for me. I received a wonderful answer in Sutapa Prabhu's lecture, where he said there are three P's, like the letter P as it appears in Pratik or Pacht, no? The letter P. Three P's. One is philosophy. Philosophy brings up our determination. Once there was an awkward situation in Mayapur. Prabhupada gave a lecture, and devotees started to get up and go out of the lecture. I presume or assume because they had other services at that time. And Srila Prabhupada's response was extremely strong. Fasten your seatbelts, please. A little storm comes now. Why are they going? They are busy in some other work. Ugra karma. Ugra means terrible, ferocious work. Without hearing, what he will do this nonsense? Shravanam kirtanam. This is our main business. Shravanam. If you don't hear, what will you do? You will do simply sense gratification. That's all. If we are not interested in hearing and speaking, then everything will become a formula, and gradually it will be stopped. Unless there's a life of hearing philosophy, shravanam, and then speaking, kirtanam, One moment. Yes, unless there is life of Shravanam Kirtanam, all these big, big buildings, temples, they will become a burden. So, my dear devotees, my dear friends, let us have a minute of introspection. Do you also sometimes feel burned out? Where you just, and so much service, and oh, my life is already a little complicated, and now I have to attend a Pandavasena retreat and a meeting, and everything is hard. This is because your inner strength has been neglected. The inner strength comes only by having a strong vision, a strong perspective by Shravanam and Kirtanam. It is also compared with watering the seed of bhakti. When you put fresh water on a seed, then the seed can grow into a strong plant. However, if you neglect watering the seed and the plant, it will become weak. You will become unenthusiastic, and as Prabhupada said, you will simply become interested in sense gratification. This is the old mind, the old circuits, the old habits will come very strong, will become very strong. So therefore, there must be the life of Shravanam Kirtanam, philosophy, in other words. We must hear, then we will be enthusiastic and determined by all means. The second, so we are speaking here about the building blocks of determination. The second, the first thing was philosophy. The second P was people or sangha. There's an African proverb: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with many. Because sangha is the root cause, big roots of bhakti. When you cut the root, the tree has to fall down. If you cut sangha, you have to also fall down. Let us look at the example of Bharat Maharaj. You know, the emperor Bharata had given up his land, or his throne actually, to go into the forest in order to dedicate himself entirely to the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. He was all alone. Then it so happened that one morning he was doing his regular morning activities, his sandhya prayers, his chanting of mantras, and he saw a deer, a female deer, opposite of the little river before which he sat, drinking. All of a sudden, the deer got startled because in the back, a lion roared, and she became so afraid that she wanted to cross the river by jumping. And she actually, in the midst of her jump, she lost her little Bambi deer, small deer, which fell into the river. The poor deer mother was so distraught with misery and pain that she just could manage to crawl into a cave. And out of misery for having lost her child, she gave up her life. So Bharata was doing his sadhana, but he became obviously touched by this dramatic situation, and he saw the little deer being washed away helplessly by the small river. So he jumped into the river. It was not very deep. Got to the deer and the small baby deer, caught it and brought it back. Now there was no mother. What is the future of a little baby deer without a mother? It has to die. So Bharata understood. I have to take care now. See, he was an exalted Raja Rishi, and Raja Rishis or Vedic kings take care of all their prajas, or even the animals, not just the human beings. Something kicked in, the sense of responsibility. But in the process of taking care of the deer, he became so attached to the deer in a way that was not normal. When he was doing his spiritual practices, the deer, having no one else to play, would come and with its wet little face or snout would poke into Bharata's side, and Bharata thought, oh, he wants to play it. He put his bebek to the side, or whatever he did, he took put his practice to the side to comfort the deer and play with the deer. And over some time, because there was no one near him who could warn him and said, Bharata, you're going a little bit too far. You need time for your practice. Over the time, he got so distracted that he did not think of Krishna any longer, but just of the deer from morning till evening. We have a community, as some of you know, Goloka Dham, where we have we are in the midst of the forest, and we once also saved two baby deers because their mother got shot during the hunting season, and we put the baby deers on our project and gave them goat milk to drink, and they became quite attached to us. And the deer caretaker, I didn't see him in the program any longer. So one day I took him to the side and say, do you know the story of Bharata? Don't do the same mistake. Bharata neglected all his spiritual principles just like you, because he was always with the deer. This is not good. And he said, oh, sorry, Maharaj, it's not good. Thank you that you told me. I will take care in the morning program and then take care of, I will be there in the morning program and then go. I remember this always. In Bharata Maharaj's setup or life, there was no one there who could say, hey, it's good to take care of the deer. It's good to be compassionate for a Vaishnava. But this is going into an extreme direction, which is harmful for your further spiritual advancement. No. There was no one there. And therefore, like a tree whose root was cut, he fell. He became so absorbed in the deer, obsessed with the deer, that he had to take a rebirth as a deer. So sangha, association, or people, is the second P. Very important. It's the root cause of devotional service, says Krishna Das Kaviraj. The third P, my dear people, my dear Pandavasenas, is practice. Uninterrupted practice over a long time with determination and enthusiasm. That's very, very important, because by practice, you see with your own eyes By regular practice, you open your spiritual eyes, and then you see, oh yes, I'm in a soul. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a beautiful, beautiful prayer about practice. And I will request Guru Krishna to give me the Bhajan Rahasya so that I can read it. He introduces his poem. He says, "Oh, what has happened to me? I was chanting Hare Krishna, but something has happened to me in this time. Something unexpected. Something very, very good has happened to me." One moment, I have to find it for you. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Here it is. "As I was chanting the holy names repeatedly, what has happened to me? I have come to understand that I am Krishna's eternal servant." Can you see the point? By practice, he doesn't have this as a theoretical understanding. Yes, I'm servant of Krishna. I've come to understand this. I have realized that I'm trapped in the bonds of illusion. I'm trapped. I'm a prisoner. And I'm suffering in so many ways due to this one problem, my separation from Govinda. So he has chanted, and then he says, "Another thing has happened to me. I see this worldly life no longer brings me any pleasure. The only thing I want to know now is, what do I have to do in order to meet and see Krishna?" These are the results of practice. It's not theoretical. Yes, we need philosophy so that we have an orientation. Yes, we need people so that we have practical examples and friends who can help us as we move on. But without practice, even philosophy and the association of people will not give you the determination you need. Practice gives you realization. Practice gives you insights which are deeper than just theoretical understanding. Practice is so important. And as you practice, you will become more determined. As you have the proper association, you will become more determined. As you read philosophy, you will become more determined. Not theoretically. It will be practical. It is as if you get an extra motor, 220 PS. Do we have PS in England? No. No, we don't have. How do you say a strong motor? No? How do you calculate the strength of a motor? We know what I'm talking about. We have a lot of strengths by this. So I remember from Prabhupada's life a good example about practice. Guru Krishna, please take this. I think you all know the practice I'm talking about is the chanting of the holy names in an uninterrupted way, in a long way, and with some devotion and enthusiasm. Prabhupada also gave a practical example for this, and this, I think, is such a good day-to-day practical tip that I would like to end with this. "When I was a householder," he once told his servant, would chant 4 rounds before each meal and 4 rounds before retiring in the evening. In this way, 16 rounds could be chanted without difficulty. He laughed and he said, "If you don't take prasadam before chanting your 4 rounds, then you will be sure to get them chanted." No? That was a way how Prabhupada coaxed himself into regular practice. 4 rounds before the breakfast, 4 rounds before the noon prasadam, 4 rounds before the evening dinner, and 4 rounds before bedtime. And in this way, he would get his rounds completed. I don't think Prabhupada was always splitting his rounds in four. I remember once how I came into his room in Paris with 4 other devotees. We had purchased a very nice woolen blanket. It was very good quality and very warming. And we had gone into his room, but there was no one there. So we went down the staircase again and asked his servant, "Prabhupada is not there." We wanted to give him the gift before we go back to Germany, but we went into his room and he was not there. No, he must be there. "You look again." Then we again went up the staircase. It was a narrow staircase. And we opened the door. We knocked and there was no response. So we opened the door and we went into the room. And you know, Prabhupada was in the room, but he was hiding in the room. He was in the shade of the door, so to say. I'm not sure that this is an English word, and therefore I will just show you. Guru Krishna, please open this door. See, there is this is called the shade of the door. There was his rocking chair, and Prabhupada was
Herbal Marge, you can continue.
Oh, please save us. Can you bring me back?
Yep, you're back. You're back, Marge.
I'm back. Okay. Some unexpected disturbance. So, thank you. So this is, he was there in the shade of the door, rocking on his rocking chair and chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And he was really absorbed. "Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama." I think you get the idea. "Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Shruti Kirti remembers, one day I was sitting in his room in New Dwaraka, cleaning around his desk. He was there sitting behind his desk, chanting japa. As he pulled down a counter bead, he looked at me with a beautiful smile and said humorously, "There, I have finished my 16 rounds. Now I can do any damn thing I won't." Prabhupada didn't do damn things, but he is just saying, I have completed this. No, so this I feel is a good example he gave himself of regular practice. So let me just give you a summary of today's presentation and then a takeaway. We were talking today on practical tips for daily life. Prabhupada gave me four instructions, and you might like to also apply them in your life. Become a good disciple. That means someone who is a student, who learns, who is always willing to learn something new and not stagnate on his path. A guru, yes, you might think, how am I a guru? Yes, you are a guru in your relationships where you help someone. You are a guru in your friendships. You are a guru if you are a parent and you take care of a child. You are also, let us say, teaching, someone who is knowledge, if he spreads the knowledge, it will increase. Then a water carrier, that means more or less a humble servant who does what is necessary, and a cook, someone who is independent. I wanted then to discuss a little bit on determination, Prabhupada's determination, and I gave you two examples from his life, when his factory burned down and when he said, I personally was walking through fire for my Guru Maharaj's service, and also how he pulled through his heart attack, which came on the ship while he was crossing the Atlantic Ocean. And then I wanted to just talk, bring the subject home to us, but I wanted to say how it is so important to be determined. Remember this quote, an easygoing life and transcendental realization cannot go together. But I wanted to also give you practical solutions or practical tips how you can build your determination. I learned this from Sutapa, Prabhu, whom I value very much, in his extremely good lectures, and as a person also. These are the three P's, and I think you can remember everything, you know, the three P's. You are Pandava Sena, so P is already in your initials, so to say, and the three P's, where what? Philosophy, I hear. Then the next one?
People, Sangha.
People, yeah, the Sangha. And the third one?
Practice,
wonderful. Take these with you and your life will become really, will bring very good fruits. You will see them very quickly. These are three things, and I gave you examples of Srila Prabhupada. For each one of these points. Philosophy, how he always said, this is our main business, to hear the philosophy. The Sangha, how he spoke about the root cause of bhakti as being devotional service. We heard Bharata, who didn't have this. And the third is the emphasis on practice, which makes you very determined. But I want to say this subject is so inspiring for me. I will think more about it. I think we could focus on, you know, one quality of Prabhupada, give examples from his life and his teachings and benefit. It's a very nice subject matter. I want to really thank the organizers. It must have been Yashoda Priya and Kapil who came up with this extremely nice subject. Thank you very much. Good. I have now spoken. We have now a little time, 25 minutes, for questions and answers. I would be really happy if there is something which appears to me. I think our part will will give it to me, the question. Yes, is there something, Pat?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you so much for your talk. It was really informative. I'm just going to go straight to the questions now. So there's one from Kishan Prabhu, and he's asking that he can often get into the habit of thinking Sangha means just spending time with devotees, though it may not necessarily be Krishna conscious. So he's asking, could you give us some further insight as to what Sangha in this context means?
Yes, very good question, Kishan. In the 10th canto, we find Muchukunda talking about the Sangha of devotees. He says it gives one a matihi, means an inner orientation, like a desire to serve Krishna. You know, I can do many things in the Sangha of devotees, but I should always see that at the end of the Sangha, when we part ways again, we are enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Not we are enthusiastic to go to the next football play, Liverpool against Manchester, with Hurricane leading the storm. I know. Am I still with you? I see here. Yes, here I am back again. So you can do many things in a Sangha. For instance, you can invite people, cook nice prasadam, and over prasadam discuss a question like how things going on for you, and everyone talks from his experience, and then you say, let us share how we can more productive in our Krishna consciousness. So you somehow bring in a natural way Krishna in. What we do is we do service all day, but we have two meals or one meals together. And during the Sangha, we in our little ashram always like to discuss a philosophical question where everyone contributes their realizations. Like one subject was, how can we come to our next level now? What is our next level, and what will help us to go to our next level? You can do kirtan together, or you can watch a kirtan, or to watch kirtan is a little dry. I mean, only if you cannot do kirtan together, then you can listen to a kirtan. There are many things you can do, and I want to encourage you to be creative, but whatever it is that you do, the principle must always be that everyone feels encouraged to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Sangha may not always mean to just have a Bhagavatam, open the Bhagavatam, read it, and then discuss from it. That's, of course, best and very good. But sometimes you're young and you need to do young people things. No problem. But it should always see intelligently be planned so that Krishna is there. Thank you, Kishan.
Thank you, Maharaj, for answering. There's another question from Ape Prabhu. If you want to unmute your mic and turn your camera on as well, that would be nice.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah. Ave. Hare Bol, Ave. I'm seeing you.
Good to see you too, Maharaj. So how do you find the balance between being a good guru and also not becoming too overpowering and controlling?
Thank you. How to find the balance between being a teacher, you know, helping people on and not being too overbearing and controlling. There is a very important thing you must understand if you are going to help other people. First, you must understand the situation in which they are. Without understanding the situation, your well-intentioned help might just create stress for them. Let me give you an example. Let us say there's a child who cries, and you think the child is most probably hungry, and you try to bring some good cookies and stuff it into the mouth, but the child is not hungry. He cries more. You think, I like cookies, I give him cookies, but he may be just thirsty, or he may have the need to change the diapers, or you know, I can't think of very good examples at the moment. He may have another need, and by pushing on and into something else, you are hurting, actually, in the name. So, first thing is, if you want to help others, find out what is the situation. And then you should come always from the motive, from the place that you want to help them grow. I would like to give you an example. When I really love a flower, I will give water to it so that the flower can grow. In the same way, when I really care for someone, I will see that I nourish them in such a way that they can grow. I remember how once I was a bad guru in relationship. I mean, we have not a guru-disciple relationship, but I was a bad teacher in relationship to you. You were very young, and you had come to Goloka Dham, and you played the mridanga. Very young. Now you are master of mridanga, but before that, you were very young and so on. And I needed to have really a strong and loud mridanga playing, because I think there were Pandava senas there, they need to dance and you know, like this. And I said, oh no, Abe, give the mridanga to someone else. And I never came back to you on this. I should have done something else. I should have said, your playing is very wonderful, but I would love to show you at another time, or would like to ask the devotee at another time to show you how to do more strong beats and more, you know, there are certain beats when the dancing gets going, you need a certain, in English you would say groove. I should have helped you to grow. Instead, I just said, no, don't play. I have never forgiven myself for doing this. And I have corrected it. And now, by the way, you are so good. You please always play and all the kirtans when there is the opportunity. So, yes. But I wanted to just give you a personal example, because I think by hearing such a thing, one gets the idea very much. So help always the other person to blossom, to grow, to expand their knowledge. Then your teaching is good. Otherwise, you might just, I don't know, topple the tender flower. You might just throw it down and not by not giving it water to help it blossom. Good. And people will notice when you come from the right place. They will notice it. Fine. So, but what is the next question?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you for answering. Next question is Pratik Prabhu. If you could unmute your mic and your camera as well, turn it on. That would be really nice.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Ah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Maharaj, yes.
The question is, how do we have an enthusiasm between our service and sadhana? Actually, doing service is kind of more enthusiastic thing, as we are naturally passionate to do something. But focusing on sadhana and being enthusiastic about that is a difficult thing. So how do we become enthusiastic about our own sadhana?
Thank you very much. Very good question. How can I be enthusiastic about my sadhana? It's not difficult to be enthusiastic, or it's not so difficult to be enthusiastic about service, because I'm moving, I can use my passionate energy, but sadhana can be difficult. You might have to reframe your understanding of sadhana. Sadhana should be seen as a time that you spend with Krishna. And if you see it like this, you are enthusiastic for it. I would like to give you an example. From time to time, we have guests who help us in our service, and they come. Just lately, one devotee came who is cooking here, and we all felt very enthusiastic. Oh, this person comes, this cook comes. We were tidying, or making the room perfect. We look down the street, when is he coming? And then when he came, we opened the door very affectionately and ushered him in, because we valued very much his presence. So the same thing is happening in sadhana. You are preparing yourself for the greatest, the most wonderful guest there is, for Krishna. And you should be enthusiastic. Wow, he comes at this time is my sadhana, my meeting with Krishna. You should, during the practice, do those things which help you to absorb your mind more in Krishna. And then it's something you really look forward for. But if you have the understanding that sadhana, it's just a practice. I really have so much to do. Then you will not be determined. I always try to see my sadhana as a meeting with Krishna. What helps me personally is I read prayers so that I can be in the proper frame of mind. I have a little altar with my dear deities, Shishi, Radha, Kanaya, Lal, and I sit either before them, or I have another small altar. I sit there so that I remember to be in the presence of Krishna. I invite Srila Prabhupada to be there. And in this way, my practice is not I try to avoid a mechanic practice. Sometimes, one has his weak moments, but by and large, I try to just see this as a meeting with Krishna. And then I'm very enthusiastic. It's the best guest. Imagine there would be news. pratik, that Krishna, let me use another example, that the Queen of England will visit your house. Woo! And then you would maybe tidy up your room. You would put your curtain maybe in a better position than now. You would do all kinds of things, and you would be very, very happy that, wow, unless you fear the Queen of England, but she's a nice lady, I think. You would be very enthusiastic. Now imagine you're meeting not the Queen of England, you're meeting the Lord of the whole universes. He comes in the form of his holy name. Then you will get your act together. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj, for answering. There's one more question from Kishan Prabhu again. So he's asking, in Sangha, sometimes our ego gets in the way thinking others to be lesser than us. And so when they share with us, we are unable to properly receive it. Can you give any suggestions as to how to develop some humility as to be able to be a receiver in everyone's Sangha?
Yeah, I must already warn you, after I have tried to answer Kishan's question, I have a question for all of you, which will make you move in your seat. So get ready. I will have a question for you very soon. It's called question and answers. Why should it always go one way? I will ask my question to you, and you will have to give your answer. It's coming. So, in Sangha, how can we be in the receiver mood? Did I understand this proper part? Yes.
Yes.
How can I? There are a few scenarios in each Sangha which demand specific responses from us. When we are together with a more advanced devotee, then we obviously, it's easy to receive. We open the ears, we try to listen in such a way that there is some, with full concentration. Try to serve the devotee. We try to apply what he has taught us. By the way, serving the devotees is done when you apply their teachings to you. That's the greatest service you can do to them, for them. So it's easy to be a receiver when there is an older devotee. But sometimes that is not the case. We are surrounded by devotees who are peers or younger devotees who expect us to give them some good inspiration. I personally have always learned from young devotees, younger by me, by seeing their examples. I would like to give you an answer. I was once in give lectures, but then many devotees wishes to speak to me on an individual basis. So there was a very young devotee, young Mataji, who wanted to speak with me. So I requested another Prabhu to be in the room, and then I received the Mataji and I asked her, what is it that you wish to know? And she said something that I received so much inspiration. I was surprised because I had not at all been prepared. She said, Maharaj, somehow I read Prabhupada's books and I understood I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. I understood this. So now I know it's time for me to become an eternal servant of Krishna. Could you just give me maybe some suggestions how I can start my service? Now, this was a person who was accomplished in a big firm, well established, and she asked such a question, whereby which she clearly indicates spiritual life and service to Krishna is of utmost importance and has the highest priority. And just hearing this made it possible for me to get a good inspiration from even this young newcomer. So you have to be free from pride if you want to receive from others who are junior to you, and see the point. And I believe the best example for this is in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where we find a highly accomplished soul. He's asked, who are your gurus? And he says, I have not one guru. The fish is my guru, the earth is my guru, the water is the guru, the little girl in the house is my guru. And he lists 24 gurus and their lessons to him. This small unmarried girl is the guru of this great soul. He understood something about having bad association and the results of bad association from this small girl. So you have to be a little bit alert and free from pride, and then you can see the whole environment teaches you and whoever is in there. Good. Thank you, Kishan. We are in good time. Now comes my question to all of you. We have two more minutes, so I will be very focused on this, and I request you to now start to think deeply. You have already survived the lecture, so you can put now your absolute attention here for this last 1.5 more minutes. I have talked with someone who knows the world of computer games. He lives in our community on the other side of the lake, and he told me these computer games they have in Germany. And he said, you have to pass or qualify on one level in a computer game, and then you can move on to the next level in the computer game. Like you may look for a treasure, and then on one level you have to avoid the ghosts who or the snake who protects the treasure, and then you can open the treasure box and you find a key, but you find out, oh, that's only a key for the next level. For, you know, on the mountain, I have to climb a little bit, and I have to slay a tiger, and then I can enter the next level, and some more will happen there. And in this way, when I've mastered that, go higher and higher until I get a gold treasure or something, or football or anything, you know. So the person told me this, and I listened with interest. I did not know before. I listened, and then I asked him a question. What could be your step, next step, so that you can go to the next level? And he thought, what? The next level in a computer game? No, no, in life, in life. So I want to ask this question to all of you. What could be your next step that helps you to go to the next level? You must think about it carefully. I'm looking here at this little tyrant. Time is over. It was a pleasure to be with all of you, but we should now make time for the next presenter. Thank you, all of you who organized it. Yashomati, Kapil, and our highly talented Part, my God, Part was the master of computer today. He knew everything. I'm thanking all of you very much. I feel I miss you very much, really. Sometimes I cry hot tears into my pillow. Where are the Pandavasenas in England? When can I see you all? Very soon. Oh, yes, the mother of Kapil is also there. Haribol. Through our mutual affection, I think we are well connected. So time will come when we see each other again. Good. I'm just getting a news from Gokrishna. See you all tomorrow. Same time, you will know. It will be communicated. All the best and Jai Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna!